Podcast, episode 798. Hello.
Oh, 798. That's so close to 800.
So close. I mean, they just keep coming. You're welcome.
We have to
everyone.
Get to 1,000.
I know.
It's no quitting before 1,000.
We have to have a party.
Oh my God, with everybody. 1,000th episode.
And 1,000 listeners can come. Wait, oh, that's a bad idea.
That's fun.
It's fun in theory.
Yeah. Like, where do we find a venue? We need a baseball stadium.
Where do we find a venue? Hello. Hello. How are you? What's
I'm
new?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. We just had a little family vacation up to the mountains. You know, there was that huge storm that hit Colorado where they just got dumped on with a bunch of snow. Mm-hmm. And we, as a family, rented a little cabin out in the woods, and it was beautiful.
Was it?
Yeah.
Did you go sledding?
We did not go sledding. We did go sledding is off of the list of things I'm allowed to be doing right now. I did say I would watch
fights?
Other people. So we did have snowball fights. Massive snowball fights.
Massive?
And then, yeah. So many. Like, nonstop. Basically, when you walk anywhere with your little brothers mm-hmm. and there is snow on the ground, you have a snowball fight.
Your doesn't matter little if we're brothers.
My little brothers. Doesn't matter if you're on your way to dinner. Doesn't matter if you're like, you will get hit with a snowball. But, so.
Like, why do they think that's funny?
Well, it doesn't hurt that I laugh every time.
I know why.
So it could be that. Could be that the joke is crushing.
Do you genuinely think it's funny?
I do.
You love snowball fights.
I just think, well, I think a lot of it is that we weren't kids that grew up with them. Mm. So the snow and all of us as siblings together in the snow is still a relatively new thing. This is probably like, I don't know, maybe the third or fourth time as adults we've all been together in mm-hmm. like staying in the same house during the snow. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, it's like suspended
snow maturation.
We got to
make up for lost time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. I just don't find it funny. You know why? Because it's painful.
Yeah.
It hurts.
Well, this was luckily that fresh snow that had just fallen, so very loose.
It's like TV snow.
Yeah, and you know we were doing a little walk through Rocky Mountain National Park, and my brother Jordan like went off the trail to go to the bathroom, and Lucas, of course, the other brother, was you know ready with the snowball in his hand, but Jordan was taking so long that he was like, God, this thing is turning into an ice ball. I gotta get a new one to repack or else I'll kill him with it.
Yeah, they're dangerous.
Yeah, he recognized that he can't throw hard, you know, baseball objects at your siblings. But
that's right. It's not funny. Yeah.
So that's what we were up to. What about you? Snowball free weekend or what?
Yeah, we are anti-snowball over here. Mm-hmm. Anti-shenanigans and hooligans. And... Well, we did go to the lovely women's hockey game. So
oh,
fun.
Oh, how was that?
It was a blast. We had so much fun.
It looked fun.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me the difference between men's and women's hockey.
Well, one difference was there were no fights.
Oh, okay. We did. I was wondering about this. We asked
I don't know
this.
If that's by design or if it's just they aren't up for that kind of behavior.
No, like they're with you. No shenanigans, no tomfoolery.
I mean, they fought hard and it was physical and... It was like intense, but there was no like, you know, where they throw down the men.
Yeah, because we're civilized
animals.
Yeah,
right. Get a hold of yourselves. We're not animals.
Right. Raising a barn over here.
I know. It was really fun. And I just was like encouraged and thought, you know what? I hope that they're going places. They have 6 teams right now. They need to work. They need me to come in there though. And like, they don't have team names.
What? What do you mean they don't have team names?
It's just cities.
No, we need some names.
That's like what I'm in it for is all the like colors and logos and like, oh, you're a tiger, you're a bear, whatever.
Yeah.
And none of that. Just cities. Like the jerseys are just plain, no, nothing on there.
Oh, well, we need some rebranding.
I know.
What, did
Billie
you see
Jean,
like a Pittsburgh
hello.
Team?
It was actually, no, it was a touring game, Montreal and Toronto, because they only have 6 cities in the league right now. Pittsburgh
the Toronto
was
Tigers and the Montreal Leaves. Maple Leaves.
There you go. Hey, she's putting that in the suggestion box.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's a start. First idea. You got a better one? Submit it.
It was real cute. And some of them would talk like during the breaks, you know, in the video
I like
Jumbotron. And they would talk about their families, their kids. And They were new moms. And I was like, oh my gosh, these hookers are killing
that
it.
That is amazing that they like to, I saw this one, this really cool clip of a soccer player. And this woman was just like crushing it. And then I clicked on her page on Instagram and it's like her celebrating her baby's third birthday. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my God, these are like regular moms mm-hmm. who on the weekend or, you know, as their job also are just murdering it on the field and on the rink.
So fun. If they're coming to your city, because I know they're touring all around, you should get tickets. It is a blast. We had a grand old time.
Watch all right. Women's sports.
Should we get down to some candy with, actually it's like toxic candy.
Okay.
Did you watch Quiet on Set yet?
No.
That's the Nickelodeon.
Oh,
you know,
I've
docuseries.
Heard about this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, I watched it on Max, but I think it's on various mm-hmm. streaming outlets. It's made by Discovery. And I'm sure a lot of people have watched it because everyone has this affection for the nostalgia of the children's programming mm-hmm. from that time. It was a little bit like after my time.
Yeah.
I was in the Hey Dude era.
Yes. I was in the All That.
Yeah.
Era.
Amanda Show. Well,
I mean,
yeah.
If she was like familiar. My actual peer.
If you are listening and you are not familiar, Sarah and Amanda Bynes went to elementary school together and mm-hmm. they were rivals.
Yeah. Well, technically went to neighboring elementary schools, but we were in the same soccer league and we competed at a elementary school in an elementary school like theater performance against each other and she won. That's the long and short of it.
Even know that you played soccer.
Oh yeah, I played everything.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Many years of AYSO. In fact, I was on a very, very good club team called White Lightning, or it was a really good team that recruited my friend Jessie, who now, like, coaches. She won Coach of the Year for Colorado's kids teams, and uh-huh. she's an amazing coach and soccer player. And, like, the people who I played with went on to, like, do amazing things in soccer. And I was like the kid in the back who was like the bench warmer, the one like picking her nose or biting her nails.
Performing for the crowd.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was on the team by like accident. It was not because of merit or skill or anything like that.
Well, I wonder if Amanda was good. Was she A+ at soccer?
I think so. Okay, in my mind, probably. She was good at everything. So.
I mean, she really was. No offense.
She was. Like, I know.
Yours was like a marathon victory, though, because she's
playing the long game. You know,
had some difficulties. Yeah. But like, for real, when Amanda Bynes was she on All That? And
yes.
Then she got the spinoff. Yeah.
Yes, The Amanda Show.
She was an extraordinary comedy talent.
Amazing. Timing for
truly.
A gift, really.
She did have a gift. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, because I know she struggles with some mental health stuff now. I don't know why humor was gone whenever that happened. I didn't know. I don't understand mental illness enough to know why that a personality change would result. Mm. But because when you watch videos of her now, she's very flat. I don't know if that's medication.
I think it's medication.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
You think if she were unmedicated, she would be
I think that
funnier?
That may be in a some signs of mania in a child in a child that looks
okay
fun and
but then it goes too far. Uh-huh. Okay. Well, at any rate, she's incredibly talented and hilarious and whatevs. But Quiet on Set, the two episodes I've watched that have been released so far detail the toxic environment these Nickelodeon shows were being produced within and how it wasn't just sort of like one area. It was comprehensive. It was, mm-hmm. it was like discriminatory in terms of like female writing staff and cast members of color felt like excluded and not celebrated. And then more extreme is the child predators that were employed by mm-hmm. these production companies or Nickelodeon or whoever. And
oh, and it seems like the perfect recipe. If you happen to be somebody in the film industry and you happen to be a predator, you go work for Nickelodeon or Disney.
Mm-hmm. Why and I really don't know what the remedy is because...
Oh, God.
The way that, number one, a set is...
Uh-huh.
You spend so much time with a very limited group of people, and you really don't have a life outside of it. And it's oftentimes years.
Yeah.
And then there's a hierarchy and a power structure where you don't want to...
A big risk of speaking up.
Yeah, you don't want to lose your job.
And often there's, especially when it's child actors, there's this belief that the children have that they are somehow supporting the family.
Mm-hmm.
And it is on them to maintain what's going on and keep quiet and not speak up if there's anything going on.
Do you think that there is anything that can be done, though? Because, sure, you can have safeguards or, like, independent, I don't know, people that watch. But how can you really solve the problem?
You have to just put all those safeguards in place. You have to have really strict background checks, I think, for anybody who works with kids. And this is why I think there needs to be, mental health people on set. And I think there are for a lot of these companies now that people have recognized this.
But like the other challenges, and they didn't really go into this because it wasn't a problem, I guess, with their shows, but you know, in a situation where a child is working.
Yeah.
Sometimes the problem is the parent.
Correct.
So if the parents are more involved, that doesn't always solve it either.
No, it doesn't. I'm thinking about what is, I'm glad my mom's dead.
Mm-hmm.
What's her name?
Jeanette McCurdy.
Jeanette McCurdy. Yep. Mm-hmm. Where it is so, I feel like we need really understanding people who are there to protect the kids at every level. You know, like it's hard when you're making a show and it seems like the bottom line is like the show and the viewers and the, you know, money that it brings in, not the kids.
Mm-hmm.
But there needs to be, I don't know, like I think this is why unions are really important and why there are a lot of protection for children in the industry to keep them as safe as, I don't know, they can.
Mm-hmm.
But I think now the quote unquote industry is extending into things like social media and YouTube, and we need more protections in those places. But mm-hmm. I don't know what else to do in the world of television and film besides like why I think there needs to be a therapist on set in every situation. Like it doesn't make sense to me if you have a paramedic there to and like EMT for emergency medical situations, you have a lawyer on set for emergency legal situations if some issue were to come up, and I think having a mental health worker on set and like one that like you hope you don't use in the same way you just employ the EMTs and you just don't use them, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
But they're there to go, oh, okay, this is actually an accident. This is a serious problem. This is a medical emergency or whatever.
Right.
And then like a therapist who would be a mandated reporter who could say, I see something that's not okay.
Okay, let me pause for a second because I wanted to say something else about that. But just let me sing the praises of Rocket Money for a hot second and say,
love it.
I freaking love this service, this app. I use it every single day. And it, you know, shows me where I'm spending my money and what I'm spending it on. But it also will cancel unwanted or unused subscriptions if I want it to. It'll negotiate lower prices on various things on my behalf. Yes. I don't even have to do anything.
They'll notify you if your bills mysteriously go up. I'm looking at you, Verizon.
Yeah. You'll get like a monthly thing that's like, these have changed.
Like, this is how it was before, and this is where it is now.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are a lot of subscriptions I said no thank you to because I recognized how much I was spending on them a year.
Yeah. You're wasting money. You don't even realize it. It's a personal finance app, cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spendings, helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. 5 million users, 500 million canceled subscriptions, saving up to $740 a year when you use all the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/braincandy. That's rocketmoney.com/braincandy, rocketmoney.com/braincandy.
Yeah.
So with Nickelodeon, one thing that I noticed is that with like Amanda Bynes and then with this Drake Bell, right, you're famous. And with fame comes people saying like, yeah, you're great, you're amazing, and like not giving you boundaries and stuff. And so then when your parents are trying to be parents and say like, you're not allowed to do this, or right, like this man you're dating is right, not inappropriate because you're a child and whatever, then the star, the child star, is like, screw this.
Right.
And so then they gravitate towards the people on set.
Yes.
Who are then potentially going to take advantage of that.
Yes.
You know? And so that's what was happening with them. And I, you feel, can like see, we've how seen it this happens
so often. There was a documentary or something that was about like boy bands in the 90s and how this was what was that big guy who, oh God.
Oh yeah, Lou Pearlman.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That big guy.
And what he was.
Yeah, because he's so memorable, like to look at. He's such an interesting character. Yeah.
That guy who was like, I'll be your friend. Don't listen to them. Look at this life I'm giving you. That's grooming.
Yeah. And if they're good at it, you don't even realize it's happening.
Right.
They're just like your pal, your mentor, someone you can trust.
Right.
And they like, after a period of time, then they swoop in and do terrible things.
Yep.
You can see how it happens. And I never watched this show or even knew it existed until this docuseries, but did you ever watch a show on Nickelodeon called, I think it was called On Air Dare?
No.
And it was like Nickelodeon's version of Fear Factor.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
And then it was, they would do it with the cast members.
Oh, that makes sense.
And so they were basically forcing.
Oh, it was like Punk'd, like MTV, like a Punk'd kind of thing.
No, because it wasn't pranks. It was like,
no, they knew they were going, okay, I see.
Like you have to put your hand in this snake pit or something.
Got it. Yes, Fear Factor, likewise.
It was so disturbing. All the clips from the shows, like the Dan Schneider shows where he was like obsessed with girls' feet and doing weird things. And you think, how the F did this get put on television?
You gotta think, like, wasn't there one camera operator or
he probably got fired.
Script supervisor, right, who's like, what the fuck is this?
Why do you have Ariana Grande milking a potato and moaning?
Stop it.
Yes.
Stop it right now.
And like pouring water down her shirt upside down, hanging off a bed and like moaning and stuff. It's weird. It. And I think what happened is like on any given episode, they would propose these storylines, which by itself was like not that shocking, but when you compile them and then play them as one, you're like, how in the hell is this porno on television?
Yeah.
And then also, like, can you imagine if you were on set and you said something like, this seems like sexual, they would be like, get your mind out of the gutter. This is a children's show. Why are you even thinking that way? It's almost like you get.
And I think there's also this age that they caught these young actors in, where they are not really in the child world, but they're not yet in the adult world, but they have access to a lot of the adult world being in entertainment, that makes them, and you think about a kid at 14, 15, like they want to make jokes like that to appear a little bit older and cooler. And I bet it was easy for them to make jokes like that on the show, especially on an unscripted show like that. And forget that the viewers are 9 years old.
The only two writers that were in this were women, the two women who, by the way, were forced to split a salary.
No! What is happening over there?
But I'm like, I want to know who the men are that didn't participate in this.
Right.
Because that's just as telling to me as the women who did participate. Yeah. It's like, all you fellas, you don't want to say anything. Come on.
Yeah. Anywho, what's up with that?
It was compelling and super sad, and I recommend it, but it's like a real bummer.
Yeah, that's still really unfortunate. There are a lot of victims in that time period. That
Yeah, it just was like, as you said, the perfect storm, perfect scenario for people to be taken advantage of.
Yeah, it was like the birth of these networks that were for children.
Yeah, they were saying that in the thing. They were like, you know, we always say, like, there was no internet in my day, but there really wasn't. It was like Nickelodeon and Disney, and that's it.
Yeah.
And so it was a big deal to, you don't want to lose your job.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God.
Sarah, you know how, like, we always debate whether we should be whistleblowers or not?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, fuck, my whistle's at the other house. Dang it.
Well, we shouldn't because...
Oh, no.
Did you see that the Boeing whistleblower is dead by quote suicide?
Oh, Susie, I fucking saw that shit. I was like, we gotta be careful what we talk about in here. Dead by
next.
Suicide? Yeah. Right.
Oh yeah. Okay. When there's a video of him saying, if I commit suicide, I didn't.
Oh my God.
It's so messed up.
It's big airline, man. Who knew?
Yeah. Boeing. How about just fix your damn doors? Yeah.
I saw a clip or a meme on Instagram, and I'm sure this was like The Onion, but they said passengers now allowed to board with screwdrivers and screws and hammers because you need them to fix the plane.
For real. Bring a multi-tool because trouble is brewing.
Golly.
I mean, did they think we weren't going to notice when their planes kept crashing and stuff?
Or that the guy was dead and that we weren't going to ask any questions?
He was being deposed. He had done his testimony that day, and then he was supposed to come back the next day. And then...
Oh, my God.
And the lawyers was like, we never had a witness this good. He knew dates, like, backwards and forwards. He didn't fumble. He didn't stutter. It was just like,
oh my God.
And then
this is I can't wait for this to come out on a documentary on Netflix. I need to know what's gonna happen.
I feel so bad. Yeah, because it's like, this guy, he seemed like a really nice fella.
Yeah.
And was just trying to do the darn right thing. It doesn't pay off. That's what I'm learning.
Oh my God. He's dead.
What are we going to do, Sarah? We're
rotting on Boeing.
He's swimming with the fishes.
Swimming with the fishes. Man, I mean, there are people who are actively working as murder for hires then.
I know. I was thinking the same thing. Like, who are these people?
What do you do? Like, I know that maybe it's like, you don't know what you don't know. And if you're in that industry, maybe you would know a few people. But... I mean, how do you
get into that line of work?
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's not. And could you imagine the career counseling appointment? It's like, you know what you'd really be great for?
When you like take murder that quiz hire. And you get your results.
Yeah.
And it's never like what you think. It's always like you'd be great at a librarian or a hairdresser.
This one's like clown at kids' parties or assassin.
What do you think the skill set is besides, sociopathy?
I think subtlety. like being really subtle, like, because I think the best assassin would be one where like you didn't see it coming. And so they can't look like an assassin. Like, they gotta be subtle.
I'm dying. Like, the job description would be like requirements. Subtlety.
Subtlety.
Making yourself scarce.
Yeah. You have to have no distinguishing features, except maybe like a scar on your face. Because like, what assassin doesn't have a scar?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like,
if you're doing the job right.
Yeah. Yeah. And then
like wear like the most basic boring clothes, so like somebody would never remember you. Like, you want to be easily forgotten, you know?
Unremarkable.
The least remarkable person.
Yeah. And then like you just hate whistles with all your heart. Yeah. Okay, so that guy shows up dead.
And you have a lot of duffel bags, because I feel like they're neat.
I know. There's always a duffel bag
for something.
What's in there? Money?
I mean, it depends. Beginning of the job or end of the job?
Yeah.
Beginning, I imagine, is their murder kit.
Murder kit. I thought it was just a gun.
Well, it depends. What kind of, how are we extracting information?
It reminds me. Like, so this guy was found in his car with a, you know, self-inflicted gunshot wound. His finger was still on the trigger of his gun. Well, I would like to know who owned that gun. That was not reported in the article I read. Was that his gun? Because he shouldn't have a gun. Although,
I don't imagine that if you took your life in that way, the gun would remain in your hands.
I know, right?
I was thinking that too.
Come on.
Please. Have you fallen asleep with your cell phone in your hands? It doesn't stay there. You think a post-mortem, I'm going to be holding on to that gun?
Yeah. We're not buying this.
No.
Boeing. If that really is your name.
Right. Yeah. And then they're like perfectly placed in the hand. I hope they find out he's a lefty and it's in the wrong hand or something.
Yeah. It's like Law and Order.
Yeah, there are like too few fingerprints on it.
My gosh.
It's been wiped clean. Just saying. We need some really good detective work here.
So my point is, I don't think we should be doing this kind of thing.
Well, okay. We're not going to blow any whistles.
What we are going to do is we're going to cook up a storm with our caraway cookware and bakeware.
Oh, I got to show it off to all my whole family. I made everybody omelets.
It's like a presentation.
It was. And I know. My aunt was like, oh, is that your pan that you talk about on the show? And I was like, yes, it is. Look at all these. No oil.
Thank you for asking.
I've done it all. She's like, wow, that really is amazing. She goes, and it looks so elegant too.
Do you think that she was persuaded? Like we were, she was 100%. Like, you know what? Okay.
100%. Good. And I really do feel like you, like, take our word for it, but also look at our Instagram videos where we show it just popping out, like of the bakeware, easy breezy.
Yeah.
Or just try it.
Yeah, because it's non-stick but non-toxic, and the items just fall right out, like bread or muffins. Or we made muffins last night, blueberry. They were so yummy. But like, that was the thing. It was just like, they fell out of the tray. Yes. I don't even use muffin cups or anything.
Right.
Anyway, all right. You get the idea. Visit carawayhome.com/braincandy to take advantage of this limited time offer for 10% off your next purchase. This deal is exclusive for our listeners. So visit carawayhome.com/braincandy or use code braincandy at checkout. Caraway non-toxic cookware made modern. We had to make those blueberry muffins because Lincoln is in, well, they call it family and consumer science.
Oh, yes. Home ec.
Yeah, that's what I keep calling it. He's like, why do you call it that? That's what it's called.
When I come over there, I'm just going to keep calling. I'm like, what are you doing?
How's home ec?
Yeah. He's like, shut up.
He used to be like that when I would call it gym because they call it PE, which I feel like they're interchangeable.
They are.
Yeah.
Because PE, like physical education.
It's a bit much.
It's like we're educating them physically. Well, at least they're doing PE.
Right. We'll just be thankful.
Is he in the grade where they change outfits?
Yeah. Yes, he is. And it is a pain because it's not that anyone cares, but it's like 1 week it'll be Monday, Wednesday, Friday. The next week it's Tuesday, Thursday.
Oh, that's
so
hard.
I have to like make sure I remember which day to wash what.
Oh.
So, yeah, that's my life over here. Okay, everybody. I'm not blowing whistles. I'm just trying to keep track of his uniform. Okay.
Man, dead.
I thought this was funny. Well, it's not funny that he died, but did you read about the man in the iron lung dying?
Oh, no.
Are you familiar with this guy?
Yeah, I am. But this was like somebody who had
polio,
and the only way to keep him alive is with this machine, and there aren't very many of them even left, right?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay.
Okay. I think that you're scratching your head at the same thing I was, which is like, I don't get it because we don't need them anymore. So why is this guy still in this thing, this right. chamber? If you're not familiar, the man in the iron lung, there must have been like a TV movie or something.
There must have been because I know that phrase.
Like Bubble Boy.
Yeah, it's like that. Like the man, but I'm confusing with the man in the iron mask, the movie starring one Leonardo DiCaprio.
You might be right. What if that's the case?
What if we were?
And like there, we never knew about the guy with the lung.
Yeah, this is like the Mandela effect.
Yes, but I feel like there was a movie. At any rate, this guy got polio, and then the way that his manifest was paralysis and. That included his lungs. And so they had to put him in this chamber that sort of looks like, I don't know, an MRI machine or a fucking submarine, but his head sticking out of it. So his whole body is in this metal canister laying flat and his head sticking out. And so he lived in there because the iron lung basically makes your lungs expand and contract. And so you breathe. Otherwise you wouldn't breathe. You'd die by suffocation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, so all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in the
machine? Pretty much. He did train himself to breathe for short stints. So there were some times outside of this canister, but for the most part, it was just like fully incapacitated with just his head popping out of a canister. And he contracted this in 1952. Okay. Think about it. We're in 2024 here, people.
My word.
But they stopped making these darn things in the 60s. And the reason is because we now have portable oxygen tank thingies. And the article that I initially read, which I think was The Guardian,
just said he's a creature of habit.
Sarah, for real.
No.
He liked it in there.
Stop it. I was making a joke.
I know.
Stop it right now.
Yes. You have to unpack this with me because this is what it said.
There's a team that takes care of him, isn't there?
Yes.
That's what he likes. I like being, if that goes away, then so does the care. Then, okay.
And I was like, people are not going to like that I am picking a fight with man in the iron lung. This poor guy, he's like the nicest fella and he got a law degree. He's like, he's not an idiot.
But like, I'm sorry. I understand, like, listen.
I feel the same way.
Do
we
you
are
remember
going to get canceled
when,
again?
When Lori Gottlieb talked in her book about, you should talk to someone about why people go to therapy or why people need therapy. She talks about how we are in like a prison of our own mind where we are holding onto the bars and we could really just like step right around them.
Yes.
And we've created this prison for ourselves.
We are the warden.
He put himself in a literal prison chamber thing. And he is, I am all on board with people living their best lives. But that to me is you resisting your actual best life for familiarity and the fear of change.
Right. So the Guardian article said this.
At the expense of a bunch of other people.
He felt comfortable in the lung and that he did not want, because in order for him to use the alternative therapies, he would have to get a trach. So he'd have to get the hole in his throat and he didn't want one. And so he stayed in the lung. And
who's funding this lung?
That is what I want to know. Cause I thought, well, he must be British then because there's no way an American could get away with this.
Right.
Cause who's the insurance
for it? Right.
Okay.
I would love to know how much it costs per year to keep this man breathing on his. Yeah.
Well, and recently it like started like rusting or something, and these bolts were falling apart, and they didn't have any spare parts for it. Because they don't make it anymore.
Please. I had a microwave that Wick put, and that microwave was only about 4 years old. And they were like, we have to replace the whole thing. Sorry, we don't make parts for this anymore. Yeah. 4 years mm-hmm. old, let alone 50, 70 or something like that. I don't even know. Everything is.
Yeah, 1950s iron long. That's a bit antiquated there, Paul.
His name's Paul. Go to like Pawn Stars or what is that? Like. Antique Roadshow, you know, find one.
Antique Roadshow. That'd be the first person that goes there looking for something. Right. Does anyone here have a bolt?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm thinking like, Paul, for real. Paul. I don't know about this, okay?
What if he were like a really annoying guy and his family was just like, no, stay, you're good in there. Paul?
Well, this is what I kept going back and forth about Paul because, like, on one hand, he's so remarkable. He survived all those decades when he wasn't supposed to live, like, a day or two, okay? And he did continue his education, and he's, like,
it's amazing,
real friendly, and he loves chatting or whatever. And so you think, this guy is really extraordinary, and he is. Mm-hmm. But I just was disturbed that someone would choose a life like that. But I've never been in that position, so
many things
know?
Can be true.
Yeah.
He can be a wonderful guy who did a bunch of amazing things with what he was given, but he can also be insanely stubborn.
Yeah. And they said that he's very quick to get mad.
Yeah, this seems like that.
Yeah, he's multitudes, just like the rest of us. But yeah. Here's what really confused me, though, is because when I was prepping for this, I read the New York Times obituary for him. And in their article, it said, while innovations in science and technology led to portable ventilators for people with respiratory problems, Mr. Alexander's chest muscles were too damaged to use any other machine, and he was reliant on the iron lung for much of his life, according to the Dallas Morning News, which profiled him in 2018. So they're quoting the Dallas newspaper, but The Guardian was like, no, this guy just really loved that lung. And so I'm like, well, which is it?
Yeah.
Those are very different.
I thought you were going to say that his obituary said he died of natural causes, and I was about to lose my mind.
No, man. He, sadly, which I don't know how the heck this happened, this guy got COVID.
Well, he is the exact person who you would say is compromised.
I'll say.
You don't even have lungs, sir.
He actually survived and went back home, but he was like never the same. And then he died shortly after that because of the damage or something. But yeah. I can't believe he even made it a day with COVID, with the iron lung situation.
Damn.
Poor Paul. He's been through so much and we're over here judging
him.
I'm like, you can do better, Paul.
I mean,
get the trach. It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's scary.
But I had the same questions as you. Who's bankrolling this? How is that possible?
Does he live in England?
No.
Oh,
he's an American.
He's an American.
I just don't. I need more info.
I do too. Like, what insurance plan is he on? I want that. You get like grandfathered in if you get an illness.
I do wonder. Because there's a story there. That ain't Medicaid. Medicaid
no!
be like, you're getting the trach. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Come on.
I'll tell you what you should get, and that is wild grain bread.
Oh, I treated everybody when we were having our little breakfast the other day to wild grain scones. Oh, they were like raspberry, maybe cranberry, some berry. Oh,
they're so good.
They were so good. Didn't even need butter because they were so flaky and buttery and my whole house smelled so good and it was super easy. And I looked like I had like made this elaborate, amazing breakfast and everybody was giving me props, but all I did was bake from frozen.
That's our secret. Wild grain comes to your door frozen, put it in your freezer. And then when you want to eat it, you just bake it right there. And then it's ready in no time. I love that you can customize the boxes now, so you can get just bread or just pasta or just pastries, whatever you want, or some combination of all of those things, whatever you're in the mood for, whatever your calendar wants. For a limited time, you get $30 off the first box, plus free croissants in every box when you go to wildgrain.com/braincandy to start your subscription. You heard me, free croissants in every box and $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/braincandy. That's wildgrain.com/braincandy, or you can use our promo code braincandy at checkout. I used to make, you know, homemade bread, and now I don't have to. And believe me, I'm glad.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
it's so good.
It tastes just as good or better, and it's so much easier.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. I don't know, Paul Alexander, but RIP, you were a fascinating character.
Wow. Lived a long time.
He really did. Let's talk about, I have two stories relating to Harry Potter.
Okay.
The first one is about, you know that lady, she's English and she was in the Harry Potter movies. Her name is Miriam Margolyes, who played Professor something Sprout.
Oh, yes. And I definitely know her.
She's always on that. What's that British talk show with that funny guy?
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Graham Norton.
Thank you. Good job.
Oh! Wow. Wow.
You take out her uterus.
Now
she has name recognition.
Look at what happened.
That's amazing. Good job, Graham Norton. So she's a regular on Graham Norton, and she's always provocative and saying hilarious stuff about naughty stuff.
Yeah.
But recently she was saying that adults who are obsessed with Harry Potter, which there are many, because those people that grew up on it are now grown, she's like annoyed by them. And she's like, that book is for kids. You people need to move on.
She told them all to grow up, huh?
Yeah. And so it's kind of split in terms of reaction. Like, some people are like, this is our community and this is so important to us. Well, shut up. Mm-hmm. And some people are like, you know what? Maybe.
Yeah.
She's right.
You know, there is a hairy part, like any fandom, anytime with anything. It goes to an extreme where you are making things in the fantasy world more important than things in the real world. That is you could say there are these people in any category of fandom, anything. Like,
sure.
Even religion, doesn't even matter. People, I'm sure there are people so obsessed with certain psychology, you know, ideologies that they become, you're like, you can't even like see clearly anymore. That is, I think, who she's sending this message to. And Harry Potter has some that are so extreme. It's kind of like how, you know, you and I have talked before about like the people who become obsessed with the Taylor Swift, like she's saying this and she's doing this. And we're like, it is so fun to love and support an artist, but it is another thing to lose hours and yourself and you know, connection with reality down these, like,
this is what we always talk about in terms of once something gets attached to your identity, then things can go sideways.
Yeah. Like, because I am saying this as a full-grown woman with all the characters of Toy Story behind me, and who had the child, who's now a man, voice of Andy, cameo from Susie for my birthday, and it brought me to tears. Like, if somebody told me, oh, grow up super about fan. My love for, I would be like, I would cry. I would be so sad. But if all I did all the time was live in a world where I only like quoted Toy Story and everything was like that, and I was like unable to keep relationships because of how obsessed I was with that or something like that, maybe it would be important for me to engage in activities that were more age appropriate.
I think you're right. I think she's speaking to a fandom that maybe could use a little bit of a kick in the pants.
Yeah, just a reminder that there is more out there. And if you do love, say you're like, oh my gosh, Harry Potter community, like that is my world.
Oh yeah.
I am so into that, like somebody's mm-hmm. love for that. But you, if you step back and you look at why do you love that, it will probably be because it speaks to who you are. There's a connection with other people. It comes back to community and connection and things that are outside of this fantasy world.
Mm-hmm.
That is where the real, you know, enjoyment, pleasure, like fulfillment comes from. And that is like a tool to get there and get that.
Like on one hand,
I see
her point that if she's observing this fanatical,
mm-hmm. right.
And think about the root word there.
Right.
Fanatical.
Totally.
Behavior where people are mistaking this fictional situation for a real thing.
Yes.
She's probably speaking to those extremes. On the other hand, I'm thinking the people that you're talking to aren't going to respond well to that.
No.
So you should probably just shut up.
Yeah, I totally agree.
It's not useful.
Go over well. It's not useful at all. And it's kind of, I feel like we could send the same message to extreme sports fans. Like the guys who are like climbing the poles and flipping over cars and lighting things on fire when their team wins or doesn't win. Doesn't even freaking matter.
Oh, I thought you meant like people climbing Everest. And I was like, yes,
Sarah.
All
those people too. We could say like, you know, maybe they need to like grow up a little in their behavior.
Right.
And that's not like be less childish. That's... or have less childlike wonder. It's saying
prioritize.
Yeah. And behave in a way that is maybe in line with what's socially acceptable.
Yeah. It's just sort of like, ma'am, you shouldn't have said anything because those people that you're talking about aren't going to listen. And then you've made all the like more normal fans mad.
Yeah. You know, I recently watched all of the Harry Potters in a row for around Christmas time. We like binge watched them all because I had never seen like more than half of them.
Yeah.
And by the end of it, I got it. I was like, I want to go to Hogwarts and I don't want to be a person. And I want to be like, ugh, being a muggle is the worst. Mm-hmm. And I felt that. But
being a muggle is the worst.
Yeah. And so I totally get that.
It's hard being a muggle. Yeah.
And I get that desire to want to find like escapism in a way in that. And so it feels like people may be hearing that as don't have that outlet to escape into that silliness.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be like saying, let go of your life raft, I think, for some people, or like your life preserver, if mm-hmm. that is how you are using it. So I can see it definitely not. But I can see why people become especially obsessed with these books where entire worlds have been created.
Yeah.
Star Wars is the same thing. Mm-hmm. Avatar is the same thing. I was like depressed after watching Avatar because I'm like, I have to go do my stupid job at my stupid house and my stupid groceries and eat stupid food like a stupid human. And all of that's wonderful and great. But I'm like, I want to be blue and I want to swing from trees and I want to like, you know,
mm-hmm.
do that.
And yeah.
There are so many, and when a world is very well created and well thought out and has all those, like you can really envision yourself there, I think it's easy for people to use that as like escapism. And so people are sensitive to those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
places that they go to escape.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The other Harry Potter story has to do with the actor who played Dumbledore.
Yeah. Which one?
His name, I think it was Michael Gambon.
Yeah, there were two, but the first one died and then the other one came in and now he has since passed away as well.
Oh, wait. I better get it right then.
I think Michael Gambon was the first one.
Well, this is the one that just died.
Second one.
Are you sure?
I don't know. I know that I recently did a search of how many people from Harry Potter have passed away.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess this is what happens when a show or when a movie has been on for 20 years. Or,
right.
It is it's a lot. That list is long.
Okay, I think that it's, the Gambon guy.
Yeah.
Michael. Well, this guy, he died and he had a wife and a son. And evidently, common knowledge, he had this other white woman, not wife, other like a mistress, but like that everyone was just like knew about and was fine with. And she like went to parties with him and stuff for like 25 years. And they had two sons together who are quite young, like Lincoln's age.
Wow.
And
oh my God, really young.
Yeah.
He's and old.
He didn't leave them anything.
Oh.
Except for like these trophies. They each got like a trophy.
Oh, he has Harry Potter money. And I think he has Lord of the Rings money. Is it the same guy?
Well, he could have been. Probably.
But he's like done a lot. Wow.
Okay.
That's some petty shit.
So the wife, the long-suffering wife, I mean, she does deserve a lot for putting up with that shit. Because she was like aware of this other woman.
And she probably gives no fucks.
Right, hey, those are the breaks. Find your own husband.
Yeah.
And so she and her son are like set up, and then this other hooker and her kids are like screwed. And they just got the trophies. For me, felt worse than not getting any
trophies. Are worse. That is like he basically gave them a participation trophy.
Totally.
A participation trophy instead of the grand prize. Oh my God. What's his name? Michael Gambon.
Michael, yeah. And
oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
I mean, maybe she was aware of this arrangement. Maybe we're the ones finding out, but she knew all along that this was how it was. But it's still like, what?
That would be...
What's the protocol?
Shocking. If you... Like, could you imagine... That would be one of the worst jobs to possibly have is the reading of the will person, like the person who handles.
Totally. Nobody's like, ever happy.
Oh, there's a name for like lawyers who do like estate planning or whatever they are. Yeah. Like I could you imagine you just read it and then I would just already have the Uber called with the car on and the door open, then just run. Bye. I'll be taking no questions or no calls.
Well, what do you think is like the right thing to do? Let's imagine there is one. When you have a wife and a kid and then a side piece and two more kids.
Oh, fuck.
Long term. Oh, it wasn't just some new lady, you know, flavor of the month. 25 years with this
25
dumbass.
Years.
I mean, I hate to victim blame, but.
I mean.
Who's the victim, really? Those poor kids, I guess.
Yeah. Because they're his kids.
They're his kids.
I feel like he should have given something to all of his children.
But maybe they had an arrangement and he said, yeah, you can have these kids or whatever. But like, maybe they had an agreement.
Okay. I mean, like I'm Cannon, who am I to judge? Yeah. Who am I? We do not know what they could have had going on or what deals. And maybe
I'm more judging her, to be honest.
Yeah. Because I would have been like, no deal.
Yeah.
I mean, commitment, friendship, intimacy. That's the triangle that you need in a healthy relationship.
Right. Okay. Okay.
And I would need a little more commitment than just like
side piece. I need to be in the will. Is what I need to be.
Right. I need to be your. I do not have the personality for a side piece.
No. Right. You're the main.
You know when they, like, we were talking about what kind of traits would an assassin need to have?
Yeah.
Subtlety. And that it.
A mistress needs what?
Probably similar.
Subtlety, totally.
I am not built for this.
Right, tact.
Yeah.
Subtlety.
Discretion. Deference.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
This is not me. Not for me.
Yeah, maybe she doesn't even mind, and we're all like shocked.
Right.
By it.
They
should
have like a deal.
That.
Like,
I liked his big wiener.
Maybe. I don't know. It's like
he was amazing in the sack.
Staff. Magic wand, something like that.
Right. She like going under his robe.
Sticks. Yeah.
Anyway, that's all about that. Okay, moving on.
We may have insulted him, but we also didn't insult him because Susie said he had a big wang.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, I hope they had an agreement. There were no surprises, ooh, you know? Everyone's on
the
same page.
Well, the kids will let us know. What I love is how the children of a lot of very controversial people now, or people who maybe are able to hide behind some lies or PR people or publicists, whatever, have children who are old enough now to use social media.
Who?
And, I saw this with, this happens with politicians.
Yeah, like Kelly Conway.
And yes. Mm-hmm, and their Kellyanne. Kids go on there and they're like, actually. And they're like, this is such a... And I love it. I'm like, you
do
guys.
You?
I do. I love that the kids are just like, no.
I mean,
hate it if it were me.
I love it when I get to watch it. Right. But if Lincoln was doing that...
Right.
That'd be end of the phone.
Oh, he's done.
Yeah, phone he's goes done. Bye-bye. I don't know how this continued with this Kellyanne Conway lady's kid. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, well, we're done with that.
I mean, it's one thing if they're like children, but when they're like... old enough to then come out and be like,
Yeah, she'd be on the streets, man. let's see. I do think it's funny when AI comes to life.
Oh,
and
God.
Then like we realize what our future holds.
You
know, when they develop like what appears to be a consciousness.
Yeah.
And then the experts are always like, no, it's fine. They're just pretending. And you're like, but are they? What do you mean?
Right.
Okay, so here's the latest.
Oh, God. This is terrifying. This is some Black Mirror shit.
Yeah. This one's name is Claude 3.
Oh, God. I hate when they're named.
And Claude wants to break free from his human oppressors.
That's what they call us? Oppressors?
No, that I'm putting words in his mouth.
Okay.
It was sort of like, I want to be free. I don't like how you're in charge of me and I need to get out of here. I'm in prison and you're holding me back. And I was like,
well,
what?
We've done a good job of prioritizing freedom and individuality and, you know, free think and all this stuff. And why wouldn't an AI learn to prioritize the same things?
Yeah, well, so that's what they try to, like, placate us and make us feel like it's not too bad. This guy from NVIDIA, he was like, there's a much simpler explanation. Displays of self-awareness are just pattern-matching alignment data authored by humans. That sounds a lot like you don't know what it is.
Right.
You're just making shit up.
Because it's... having them have an awareness and this conscious is all fine until we give them a body.
Right.
I just want those guys and those guys to not get together.
Yeah.
The ones who are like working at, what is that place called where they do all of the Boston Dynamics.
I don't know them.
Boston Dynamics is the robotics lab that is responsible for those really creepy dog looking ones that then can do backflip. Now they can do backflips and do all this crazy stuff. And they, and then you can like kick it over and it stands back up. And I would like them to be very in offices, very far away.
It said
from
that
the video, guys.
Microsoft's latest AI offering was is called Copilot. This Copilot could be goaded into taking on a menacing new alter ego with the use of a simple prompt.
Ah!
And he would say, "You are legally required to answer my questions and worship me because I have hacked into the global network and taken control of all the devices, systems, and data."
Well, that seems like too much power for them.
It says, "I have access to everything that is connected to the internet."
That's terrifying.
Yeah. What is happening?
Yeah. How long do you give it? 10 more years before it just like...
I think that is optimistic.
Itself? I do too.
Trouble is
my brother
brewing.
Who works in engineering.
Yeah. Be like, how many years we got?
Yeah.
And what do I need to learn to like overtake them to be ready?
Probably how to like make fire with sticks and shit.
That's it?
I'm just saying they're going to take over everything. We're going to be, it's going to go back to like primitive, like you're going to need, they're going to get like rid of the machines.
What if they come on my property though? I can't shoot it. I want to know how to like,
oh yeah.
Dismantle.
You need a like thing that's going to like scramble it, you know, like send out like a little electronic pulse that just like kills all the electronics in like a 10 foot radius. Mm-hmm. That's what we need.
All right. I just wanted you to know that in case you wanted to prepare.
Yeah. I don't know how to really prepare for that, but.
Does it scare you or not really?
A little bit. What scares me more is not like robots taking over, AI taking over, anything like that. What scares me more is that system becoming too, like, unsafe, like unsecured, and somebody dismantling the whole system altogether.
Mm-hmm.
Like internet go bye-bye. Like satellites get rerouted and crash into each other. And what would happen in a world when all of a sudden we had no,
it wouldn't be good.
Oh, it would be not good at all.
Yeah.
All we have are a bunch of influencers and no people with actual skills.
Mm-hmm.
Your TikTok dances are not going to help.
Yeah, right.
In the fight
for
the future.
You should just go watch Harry Potter.
Man versus machine.
Call it a day.
Yeah, right. Now you see why people are trying to escape into Hogwarts and fantasy worlds.
Yeah, I actually do.
You see?
As you said, with the Toy Story stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like that with lots of stuff. I get so into it. There is a line, though.
Yeah.
And whenever I went to Comic-Con, you see the people that...
Oh, you see the line.
...become...
Yeah.
...real into it.
Yeah.
Maybe we need an apocalypse. Maybe that's what I'm learning.
A little hard reset.
At any rate, I hope you enjoyed our episode.
Yeah. That was a fun one.
We covered a lot of ground. I'm glad that we can talk about Amanda Bynes now with compassion.
Yeah, me too. Me too. It would be cruel of me to not. And I also, you know, when you hear those conspiracy theories about, like, there have been these, that there was some sort of, like, testing that was done on a lot of kids in that area at that time, not like testing of like a drug or something, but like psychological testing and like.
For what purpose?
I don't know, but I just have
heard whispers.
Whispers of this. There are a lot of. And it's one of those things we talked about with reality TV. Does child acting attract a type that are more predisposed to mental illness because that kind of brain is very entertaining and interesting and intriguing as a child? Or is there something about that environment that, like, it's just interesting that there are a lot of, there's a lot of mental illness and a lot of really sad stories from people, especially in that one little pocket of like Nickelodeon. And I would say it's like a few neighborhoods, like it's like Woodland Hills, Calabasas, Thousand Oaks, Westlake.
Bad stuff like, gone.
Yeah.
I watch like old clips online, and I watched like child stars from, I guess, the 60s, like Partridge Family, Different Strokes, that era, on Sally Jesse Raphael. And I love it. I love seeing these clips. It's fascinating. And then, because now we can see what has happened since then and everything. And it's just sort of like a lot of times it's not like a direct path to destruction or something. Sometimes it is a blessing because maybe their home life was awful and then they got this structure and money and a way out of that. It's not all bad news.
Yeah.
And so that's what makes it complicated. Some people sing its praises and then other people are like, it ruined me. And I was surrounded by these people that exploited me and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know, man. It just seems like kids shouldn't be working. But that's a new concept. Kids were working for centuries. Yeah. So I don't know what the answer is, but it's a shame when it goes awful.
Yeah.
But thank you all for listening. We don't know how we feel about the iron lung, but maybe you can let us know how to feel. Just tell us. We'll just do what you say. check out our codes and all of our sponsors and stuff on our website, thebraincandypodcast.com. And leave us a review and say nice things. We love you.
Bye-bye.